Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On track one, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On track two, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track three features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 6, Number 3. In the last edition of SNU, I began a discussion on the topic of recreational drugs, specifically coffee, alcohol, tobacco, cannabis, ecstasy, and cocaine. And I wonder how many of you out there, when I say those words, get a little fuzzy. Well, 99% of athletes use at least one of these recreational substances. In fact, I've only met one person who didn't consume any of those, including coffee, which is quite unusual. But still, there are people that do live the life of sobriety. The problem is that very little is typically known about their physiological and pharmacological effects. I'm talking about people who use these things but know nothing about them. So I intend to change that. So let's get into it, beginning with a review of the most popular one, namely coffee and its active constituent, caffeine. Coffee is typically brewed from the roasted and ground seeds of a tropical evergreen shrub of African origin called coffee arabica or arabica. The name comes from the ancient Arabic Gahweh, spelled G-A-H-W-E-H, Gahweh, meaning gives strength. And I think that if you have a good strong whack of coffee, you know that that name is appropriately designed. About 25 species of coffee exist from which caffeine, its active alkaloid, is derived. So caffeine is an alkaloid, and an alkaloid is a naturally occurring amine produced by a plant. Many alkaloids have pharmacological effects on humans and animals. The name is derived from the word alkaline. Originally, the term was used to describe any nitrogen-containing base. Alkaloids are usually derivatives of amino acids and in general have a very bitter taste. Coffee is one of the most popular beverages in the world, consumed by about a third of the Earth's population. An average person drinking 2 cups per day uses over 10 pounds per year. In North America, an average adult coffee drinker consumes in the area of 200 to 400 milligrams of caffeine each day. Worldwide, the per capita caffeine consumption of all residents is an average of around 70 milligrams, with 54% of that caffeine coming from coffee, 43% from tea, and the remaining from things like medication, cola, and chocolate. So check those medications, because many cold remedies and over-the-counter medications actually contain caffeine. Caffeine is a methyl xanthine, a nitrogenous compound that also occurs in tea, guarana, Métis, kola nuts, and cocoa. Coffee contains about 0.75 to 1.5% caffeine by weight. In coffee, it is chemically known as 1,3,7-trimethylxanthine. In contrast, guarana contains about 3 to 5% guaranine, which is identical to caffeine, and this makes guarana about 2 to 3 times more potent as a stimulant. A lot of health products in the health food stores use guarana, either combined with ephedrine or with other substances, generally as a thermogenic product or as an ergogenic aid. Something else called paraxanthine, a metabolite of caffeine found in humans, is known to interact with the adrenergic system to promote a thermogenic or heat-producing response, and this is associated with reducing body fat. An average cup of coffee contains about 50 to 100 milligrams of caffeine, depending upon the species and concentration. Caffeine stimulates the central nervous system and mainly affects the cerebrum, where it increases brain activity. Caffeine also elevates heart rate and blood pressure and stimulates striated muscle. This is why anyone with elevated blood pressure or heart problems is, you know, advised not to drink coffee or take a strong whack of caffeine. It can really cause problems and even death if you overconsume it. It acts as a laxative and mild diuretic and is known to improve motor performance and alertness. So many people claim that they have more clarity of thought and can listen with more retention when they have their morning mocha java. The major mechanism by which caffeine improves endurance performance is by the sparing of intramuscular glycogen stores. This is known as the metabolic theory. Caffeine ingested before exercise stimulates lipolysis, enhances rates of fat oxidation, and decreases glycogenolysis. Lipolysis simply means the breakdown of fats into fatty acids and glycerol, and glycogenolysis refers to the breakdown of glycogen into glucose. So when you take a strong whack of caffeine, you actually increase the breakdown of fat so that the body can use it as a fuel source, and it inhibits how the body burns glycogen stored in muscles, forcing the body to use more of the lipids inside and from the blood and then carry to the cell as a fuel source. So this is why caffeine and coffee is so popular amongst athletes. It helps them get leaner, gives them more energy, and spikes their mind a little bit. Caffeine is known to be a powerful central nervous system stimulant affecting the medullary respiratory centers, resulting in increased rates of ventilation. 6 to 9 milligrams per kilogram of body weight is considered an effective dose. Now, here are some common sources of caffeine, and this is in 150 milliliters. Instant coffee, 66 to 74 milligrams. Brewed coffee, 146 milligrams. Decaffeinated brewed coffee, not zero, but 3 to 9 milligrams. Weak tea, 1-minute brew, 20 to 30 milligrams. Strong tea, 5-minute brew, 40 to 75 milligrams. Green tea, 18 milligrams. Iced tea, 15 to 25 milligrams. Cola, soft drinks, 25 milligrams. And cocoa, 0 to 10 milligrams. So the amount of caffeine does vary in these different products, and it relates to the concentration and the substance itself. The negative effects of caffeine include heartburn, acid-related reflux, increased cholesterol, tachycardia, irritability, nervousness, anxiety, headaches, insomnia, loss of electrolytes, and dehydration. Many choose to drink black or green tea over coffee. Oriental cultures have used tea for its therapeutic benefits for centuries. It is estimated that a heavy tea drinker, meaning 6 to 8 cups per day, will consume approximately 200 to 400 milligrams of L-theanine per day. L-theanine constitutes between 1 and 2% of the dry weight of tea leaves. It is the predominant amino acid component in tea and exists only in the free or non-protein form. L-theanine directly stimulates production of alpha brain waves, which creates a deep state of relaxation while maintaining mental alertness. That's kind of cool. Taking L-theanine, which is available as a supplement in health food stores now, in its free form, has been clinically proven to reduce stress, improve the quality of sleep, diminish normal symptoms of PMS, heighten mental acuity, and reduce the negative side effects of caffeine. Caffeineism is a medical condition resulting from the ingestion of excessive amounts of caffeine. Caffeine is an accepted ergogenic aid, and at levels above 12 micrograms per milliliter in urine, athletes have tested positive for using a doping agent. Tests done at the Colgan Institute show that to reach this level in a urine test done immediately after competition, 165-pound or 75-kilogram men would have to ingest over 1,000 milligrams of pure caffeine or drink approximately 10 cups of really strong coffee all at the same time. Besides being a stimulant, drinking coffee has a mild thermogenic and lipolytic effect. Caffeine stimulates brain cells to release dopamine and noradrenaline. By stimulating the release of epinephrine from the adrenals, caffeine increases the release of free fatty acids, which can be oxidized for fuel. Caffeine tends to increase blood lactate concentration and extend the effects of ephedrine. By inhibiting phosphodiesterases, catecholamine effects are prolonged. Caffeine is effective on endurance factors also of physical performance and on muscular power factors that use anaerobic lactate metabolism. Cellular accumulation of cyclic 3,5 adenosine monophosphate, or more commonly known as cyclic AMP, and an increase in muscular affinity for calcium are proposed as the major biochemical mechanisms of caffeine. Caffeine can also modify melatonin's endogenous secretion by the pineal gland. Caffeine is a competitive inhibitor of adenosine receptors of the pineal sites. These are the cells of which the melatonin is released from the pineal gland. Adenosine increases melatonin secretion by the pineal gland. In essence, this suggests that caffeine may have a potential resynchronizing effect. In Save Your Brain, Dr. Colgan actually recommends drinking 1 to 3 cups of organic black coffee daily to prevent Parkinson's disease. As mentioned, caffeine inhibits certain adenosine receptors that lead to a rise in dopamine. A large study at Harvard analyzed the records of 135,000 people of mixed ethnicity. Men who drank coffee routinely and on a regular basis cut their risk of Parkinson's by almost one half. Now, that's a significant amount. So who would have thought that drinking coffee could prevent Parkinsonism? Caffeine is known to increase physical strength. That's well known in players in the gym who are into strength and measuring parameters of it. A study performed at Oklahoma State University tested 20 elite male athletes. They were given 7 milligrams per kilogram body weight of caffeine or placebo and tested for strength of knee flexors and extensors. Under the influence of caffeine, both sets of muscles showed significant increases in force produced throughout their entire range of motion. As an ergogenic aid, which means to increase the production of work, Dr. Colgan recommends taking 5 milligrams per kilogram of your body weight of caffeine at least 2 to 3 hours before competition. Beyond 8 milligrams per kilogram, undesirable side effects kick in and cancel out any ergogenic benefit. So there is a curve that you reach, and once you go beyond that, taking more does not equal greater value. So keep that in mind with your own personal test. In addition, for best results, Colgan recommends not drinking coffee regularly. Yeah, right. Or the body will habituate to caffeine and the impact will be less striking. So for those of you that don't drink coffee, try a whack of caffeine next time you compete if there's no concerns about testing positive. And just experiment with the impact. You might find that the little boost that it gives you makes a difference in your performance. Many of the negative effects of coffee are attributed to its pesticide content and the fact that coffee beans contain many oils and acids that become rancid when exposed to light and oxygen. The roasting process creates hydrocarbons known to be potent carcinogens. Combined with sugar, the effect may cause overstimulation of the adrenals and chronic fatigue, leading to a habit-forming experience, which then changes physiology. Speaking of sugar, or sucrose, let me say that the amount of sugar some people add to their coffee is astounding. The sugar itself, and not the coffee, becomes the enemy to the health of the brain, the heart, arteries, and the immune system. This is also true with the cream and milk many people cannot live without when drinking coffee. When sugar rises in the blood from taking a whack of refined sucrose, vitamin C cannot be absorbed into the cell. Sucrose destroys insulin metabolism and will let you down harder than you can imagine after it picks you up. And of course, the addiction pattern is that when you're low, you want to feel up. And so you take the substance again, which is, of course, another cup of coffee with lots of sugar and generally lots of cream. If you need a sweetener, use sucralose. It is safe, non-addictive, unabsorbed, and is non-insulin dependent. A double espresso, for example, can be very bitter. Remember, the caffeine is a bitter alkaloid. Most alkaloids are bitter. This is why it's so bitter. And adding a pinch of sucralose, which is artificial, is definitely better, safer, more efficient than sucrose, the so-called natural sugar. Now, this to me is an example is when the chemistry that man can devise is superior to the refined state of a so-called natural food, in this case, sucrose, which to me, I like calling it more appropriately, white death. Cream and milk ultimately should be avoided when you drink coffee. And for those of you that can't get away from it, then just stop drinking the coffee because you're destroying your arteries. And you need to learn that cow's milk and cream and milk from cows today is just not appropriate if you're into health. Caffeine may cause or amplify fibrocystic breast disease, as cysts often decrease in size and number when coffee drinking is eliminated or reduced. There is also a connection between caffeine consumption and the formation of kidney stones. This is often related to dehydration caused by under-drinking water, drinking excessive amounts of coffee, and eating an acid-forming diet low in fresh raw fruits and vegetables. Personally, I drink a small amount of very strong black coffee before my morning workout. I grind the whole beans myself to prevent the formation of rancid fatty acids and prefer organic coffee blends, which negates the presence of xenoestrogens known to cause, here it is, sterility. Drinking pesticide-rich coffee increases your risk, men, of going sterile. I filter the fresh grounds first, which removes the cholesterol-raising compounds, cafestrol, and colweol, and then drink it after my pre-workout shake, which I make about 90 minutes generally before training. In The Power of Superfoods, Sam Gracie lists coffee as an alkalizing substance, but only if it is not decaffeinated and drunk black following a meal. When consumed on an empty stomach, it apparently acidifies the system by stimulating serum chloride. Anyone troubled by coffee is either drinking too much, meaning more than 4 to 6 cups daily, or is naturally intolerant and shouldn't be drinking it at all, or not drinking enough water, consuming a low-grade rancid form of coffee, often the type that truck drivers drink when they stop at those diners along the road, drinking it at the wrong time, or eating too much acid-forming food such as bread, overcooked meat, and, of course, fast food. Don't buy pre-ground coffee unless you have it ground for you or grind it yourself at the time of purchase. Store it in the freezer in an airtight container to prevent rancidity once it has been ground. Remember, coffee acts as a diuretic and loss of water requires compensation. So if you do sneak a cup or two on an empty stomach, chase it down with 1 to 2 glasses of filtered water. And you'll see that in Italian bars, for example, or having been to Italy myself, it's not uncommon for them to serve a glass of water with your espresso. Makes a lot of sense. The coffee bean itself is actually alkaline forming, but when the beans are roasted, hydrocarbons are formed, and it is these hydrocarbons and oxidants, not caffeine, that may be more damaging and possibly the cause of associated immunological problems and consequent health problems. So here it comes down again to the methods associated with the preparation of this natural bean that comes from Mother Earth. The bottom line with coffee, and all recreational substances for that matter, is to understand the relationship between quantity of consumption, frequency of use, the quality of the substance, individual biological compatibility, and here's the big one, the motive for its use. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from an old Turkish proverb, which I might add, having been to Turkey myself, is as true as truth itself. Coffee should be black as hell, strong as death, and sweet as love.